our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Now, my white coworker, Wanda, is about to slide into frame. You will immediately see what I'm talking about.
Governor, Wanda, let's get back to the phones and let some callers. We have Barry from D.C. is calling. Go ahead, Barry.
Well, Governor King, this is actually the President of the United States.
As the 111th Congress has progressed, I have become increasingly concerned.
Now, my white coworker, Wanda, is about...
Like, oh, snap!
Aren't I brilliant?
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, that's just the noise of the day, baby. As you step through the looking glass of reality, the issues of the day, the Alice in Wonderland of talk radio, the world-famous, groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show is on the air. Our number 877-877-877-877-876-PHIL. And you can visit us online at philhendryshow.com, where you can watch a live streaming video of our show, listen to live streaming audio, and you can do it all, baby, right there on our website. And we have a list of our affiliates, great affiliates across the country. Dallas is coming on board next month. Wichita is back with us. A whole host of great, great news in terms of our affiliation. And, boy, are they great broadcasters, too. Just the fact that they're running this show. But then again, take a look around you. Take a look at the stock prices on radio companies, on broadcast companies. Go ahead, if you dare. If you're not in the radio business, it probably won't sicken you. If you are... on second thought, read the comics. But we happen to feel, as humbly as I can put this, that after all of the experiments with the Fred Thompsons and the Bill O'Reillys and all the amateurs, our business is going to need pros, and that's exactly what we do in the show. Now, this hour, we're going to look at some news. We have Ted Bell coming up from Ted's of Beverly Hills. It's a well-known steakhouse. He is a sponsor of one of our segments. He's going to be on coming up in a few minutes. On the show to talk about a manger scene in Beverly Hills that is apparently a manger scene, a religious scene for the Christmas holidays that is supported by the people that may be taken down. And he is a supporter of the manger scene, of this religious expression, and we're going to talk to him. It's the usual Christmas thing about separation of church and state. It's a every year, man. It's every year. Those atheists from Wisconsin, they spread out, man, and just bum everybody's trip out. It ain't like I'm Mr. Religion, you know. It's not like I praise Jesus. It's just that I happen to dig seeing stuff because it makes me feel cool and, you know, whatever. I'm not going to get crazy if I happen. Now, if I see like a cross and cats laying a lot of Bible verse on people and it's an active attempt at, you know, so...
What are you talking about, man? Is that Christmas time or what?
I'm talking about Bud Dickman's with us along with Robert Lynn. I'm talking about Christmas scenes. Never mind. All right. There's a House Democrat that's got everybody just in a twist, man. This guy split. He is moving to the GOP. He's a Democratic House member who has opposed several of President Barack Obama's top domestic agenda items. He's switching to the Republican Party. Representative, I don't know what, you know, when these guys say they're switching parties, whether it's Arlen Specter going over to the Democrats or this guy going over to the Republicans, what's the difference, man? What is it? Why were you a Democrat or a Republican in the first place? However, I will say this, quoting the great Keynes, when he said, somebody asked him, how come you don't believe what you used to believe? And he said, how can I when I find out that I was wrong? Well, that's an oft-misquoted line, and I just quoted it correctly for you. That's exactly what he said. He said, how can I believe how I used to believe when I realized that I was wrong? In any event, a Democratic House member who has opposed several of President Obama's top domestic agenda items is switching to the Republican Party. Representative Parker Griffith of Alabama, who hails from a heavily conservative congressional district, announced Tuesday he will join the GOP. And here is Griffith Parker. He is, as I mentioned, was a House Democrat as he talks to the assembled press about why he's made this decision.
As the 111th Congress...
Yeah, whatever. So, no, here he is.
As the 111th Congress has progressed, I have become increasingly concerned that the bills and policies pushed by the current Democratic leadership are not good for North Alabama or our nation.
Uh-huh.
And more importantly, they do not represent my values and convictions.
Well, I'm like, oh, snap.
While I voted against health care, I voted against cap and trade, and two huge spending stimulus bills, I now believe that I have to go even further and stand with a party that is more in tune with my beliefs.
You blew it!
For that reason, I am announcing today that I am joining the Republican Conference immediately.
All right, so here's Representative Griffith explaining why he's making the jump to the GOP.
And I take this step because I believe Our nation is at a crossroads.
Really?
And I can no longer align myself with a party that continues to pursue legislation that is bad for our country, hurts our economy, and drives us further and further into debt. Unfortunately, there are those in the Democratic leadership that continue to push an agenda focused on massive spending, tax increases, bailouts, and a health care bill that is bad for our health care system, bad for our patients, and bad for our physicians.
All right, while discussing Representative Griffith, Hardball's Chris Matthews gives assessment on what the GOP has become.
Your thought, are you building the right kind of Republican Party? Are you building a party off the discards of the Democrats? Are you going to keep building your party with Dexicrats, ex-Democrats who think the Democratic Party's too mainstream?
Uh-huh.
And that's
we're
how you've been doing it since the 60s. Since the 60s, you've built a political party. The party of Lincoln's become the party of, probably the party of the Confederacy. Go ahead.
Oh, please.
You brought a loaded gun. Was your gun loaded today?
And the party of slaveholders, the Democrats, has become the party of, well...
They're better than slavery.
Yeah, they are. I will give that to you, the Democrats. You guys used to be the party of slavery. Jeez. The party of Lincoln. You got to be careful when you start knocking Republicans. You guys used to be the party of Lincoln. Well, you cats used to be the party of, like, slaveholding plantation owners and states' rights guys. And, well, you know, you've moved ahead.
Yeah, the Republicans have moved backwards and everything, too.
Maybe, bud, maybe. And I'm not going to be so simple-minded as to say there's no difference. But anyway, Anyway, so that's Griffith. He's moving over, and I can't find anything wrong with that. If he feels differently, if he feels that he's really a Republican, what the hell are you going to do? You're going to have to bitch and bellyache about that stuff? One of the things that people, because we can never go 5 minutes in this country without finding something wrong with the guy that we're ideologically opposed to, right? I mean, even if Obama were to do everything right on any given day, the fact that he, who knows, man, smoked a cigarette, went on a call-in show, was wearing the wrong colored sports jacket, somebody's going to have a problem. So this guy changing parties, you're going to hear people saying, what a turncoat, what a flip-flop. This word flip-flop. First of all, it sounds lame. Secondly, I don't know what it means other than, yeah, I changed my mind. And I guess the people that say they don't dig flip-floppers have never changed their mind on anything. They think the same way they did when they were three.
Yeah, they were Republicans. Well, you're talking about when they were three, man. So?
Well, you're an idiot, man. So, in other words, if I thought that when I was three, the moon was made out of green cheese, how dare I change my mind, huh?
Well, when you're a kid.
So if you're a kid, that's when you get to change your mind, but when you become an adult, you can't change your mind anymore?
You're supposed to grow up and be more know about it and everything. What do you mean more know about it? Man, you're messed up and everything.
Now, the bud, first of all, people can change their mind anytime they want if it is done with intelligence and candor and honesty and they really, really believe what they believe. There's nothing wrong with that. We should not denigrate that. We shouldn't insult people for that. If they say, you know what, we only like the people to change their mind if they change their mind and begin agreeing with us. The people we don't like are the people that change their mind and they agree with somebody else. However, that's neither here nor there. So that's just a piece of news. And the final Senate vote on health care is set for Thursday morning. I don't know if you saw the voting on Sunday night and the debate, but there was one woman on Facebook, man, and she was like going out of her mind. She was calling everybody in the Democratic Party every kind of name. And finally, when the vote passed, she went,
"You blew it!"
And then she finally went to bed, which was everybody felt good about that. The Senate will hold its final vote on sweeping health care Thursday morning under agreement that Majority Leader Harry Reid announced today on Tuesday. The vote had been expected on the night of Christmas Eve due to Republican delay tactics to hold off the measure. Reid had insisted it be passed before Christmas. So it's going to be Thursday morning, and that's Christmas Eve. First, the Senate will hold another procedural vote on the health care bill tomorrow to set up the final vote. This procedural vote will require support from all 60 members. Then it's got to go to the House, and by the time this thing comes out of the House, we won't recognize it as anything having to do with health care. It'll probably look like something that wants to, you know, siphon the swamps dry or something. Who knows? So here's Harry Reid as he talks about what's in store in the forthcoming days, the forthcoming hours, really, on the health care.
Nevada has many different problems than does New Hampshire. Michigan has many different problems than does Georgia. We have wide ranges of different needs throughout regions of this country. Some of those are basic health care delivery problems. Others are because of the unemployment situation. This legislation is no different than the defense bill we just spent. We just spent $600 billion on. It's no different than other pieces of legislation that are big, large pieces and small pieces of legislation. We work to compromise. There is 100 senators here, and I don't know if there is a senator that doesn't have something in this bill that was important to them. And if they don't have something in it important to them, then it doesn't speak well of them.
Can you dig it?
Well, here's what I think our Democratic colleagues want. They want a bill no matter what's in it. To get the 60 a vote, they drag Ben Nelson into a room, not on C-SPAN to negotiate. We don't even know where the room was at. And they cut a deal with him saying, we're going to expand Medicaid to cover more Americans in our government-run health care. But when it comes to Nebraska, the federal government will pick up your share. Now, my state, with 30% African-American citizens, a lot of low-income people in South Carolina, it's going to cost my state $1 billion. That's the same old stuff that I object to.
You go
That's
so far
not
as
change
to calling
we can
it.
Believe in. That's sleazy.
All right, here is Fox. That was Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. Here he is on Fox News challenging any senator who supports these backroom deals to come forward.
I don't think most senators believe this is okay. And if it is, just say so. I'm on your show. I think it stinks. I think it's sleazy. Now, if you disagree with me, you think it's good politics, come on some show and say it's okay with you. Go back to your state and tell the people in your state, our Medicaid bills are going to go up, your taxes are going to go up, but we had to do this to get Nebraska on board. Is that okay with you? Do you think that's fair? I hope they get left out of the room.
See, he's talking about these deals that are being cut. Nebraska, the feds are going to pick up Nebraska's tab. The rest of us pay the freight. This is how you get this guy Nelson on board to vote in favor of health care. This is the kind of thing that, quite frankly, could be, you know, it could have been dealt with by the Democratic leadership. Maybe they weren't going to get the vote. Maybe they weren't going to get the vote to get health care passed. I mean, because there's going to be hell to pay if what Graham is saying there is true, that people are going to say, well, now, wait just a minute. I was in favor of this health care bill, but now that I found out that I got to pick up the tap for Nebraska, now I'm not. See, that's possible. So why don't you guys in the leadership in the Democratic Party say, we can't do that. There's a place where we just have to stop, all right? And the other thing is this, and it goes back to what we said back in the summer, and it goes as follows. Whoever said that you had to get this thing all passed at once and we got to roll it out and get it going and kick ass and this and that, man, there's 4 years in the Obama administration. This is an educational process the American people are going through. This is a long process. What you guys get today, take it. Because next year you may get a little bit more if everything works out fine. And the year after that, maybe a little bit more as people get hipper to what's going on, as they realize it ain't commie, it ain't socialist, it's not Canada, it's not Europe. It is an attempt to have a public plan coexist with a private plan. Now, forget about the public plan because that thing is dead, man, dead, Red, okay? However, this abortion thing really is getting sickening. I mean, I'm pro-choice, but I got to tell you, number one, if a woman wants to pay for an abortion out of her own pocket, fantastic, even if she's getting it through a company that is in the health insurance exchange as proposed. Now, why people don't understand that, I don't get it, but I think that's the compromise they struck, and I think it will probably be cool. In other words, woman goes in, she's going to an insurance company. How'd she find the insurance company? She found it through the government directory, this government exchange, which, by the way, how much is that going to cost to run? A 1-800 number? Well, I don't know about this government health exchange. It's a freaking it's a resource center. Health insurance, you need it? Yeah, here's a resource center. Call up 1-800, bang, 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 boom, boom, boom. There you go. Well, are they going to pay for abortion? No, man. They cut this deal where if you want an abortion, you got to go and pay for it yourself. Some of these companies get government subsidies. However, when it comes to abortion, you got to pay for it yourself. That's about as good as it's going to get. You might as well take the deal and don't hold. Some of you jackasses, you so-called progressives, man, you're really on the warpath, aren't you? You cats are so self-righteous. So, I'm with you. You know, I support this plan, but I don't like you. And you're digging your heels in on every little thing and saying, and you are just so cool, man, and you're so down with it. You don't even understand what it is you support. You just think there's a really big thing happening here, man, and you want to be a part of it. Why don't you take what you can get and let this thing unfold as it unfolds? All right, I'm done. 877-876-PHIL, and we'll be back with more news. Next hour, we have Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills talking about that manger scene controversy. Brittany Murphy in a toxicology report is due on that story and other news. Phil Henry Show. Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard in the room.
What if I want an abortion?
You should have been an abortion.
Bill Hendricks.
All right, 877-876-PHIL and Ted Bell coming up in a few minutes on the show. We got the story on Hart. What do you want?
We got to finish the business.
I talked to you about it off the air. I'm going to talk to you about it off the air.
Well, I got Mr. Hall's on the line right now.
When do we got to... Let me get... David? Yeah, David?
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt the program, but Bud said that you guys were talking about the production meeting.
Yeah, we were talking. I didn't want to do it on the air, okay?
I apologize, but I'm leaving town tonight. He told me that you were putting it off, and I wanted to make sure, and I apologize to your audience for jumping in here, because it's very, very important. I want to explain to your audience, if you don't mind, Phil.
All right.
Well, I apologize.
Go ahead.
The Phil Hendry Show, for those of you listening, is perceived to be, by some in the industry, not everyone, is perceived to be a little... I guess the word's kooky. Would you agree with that, Phil?
I got maybe the word kooky, but different.
Yeah, different, kooky, a little weird. And one of the things that we've found in our research is the bumper music you're using at the top of the show, the rock and roll, sets a tone for unpredictability and, I guess, out-and-out weirdness that a lot of people are uncomfortable with. And
all right, well, we talked about that before we went on the air, and I said that I would get with Ralph. And we would look into that.
Bud has played for me something that I think is, I got to tell you, I think it will disarm the listener. They will feel comfortable as opposed to feeling like they've wandered into some kind of a lunatic asylum, to put it very clearly. And we wanted to play it and get your feedback and maybe the audience if they wanted to email the show or something.
I understand, David, and I don't mind. But I'm wondering why we can't do this off air.
Well, I appreciate your comments, but the fact is I'm not necessarily asking you. I'm telling you. I'm trying to be polite about it.
If you're telling me, then I guess we have to do it.
Yeah, but you don't have to get huffy and say, oh, you know, he's making me do it. This is what we're going to do, and I'm just trying to be polite to tell you that this is what we're going to do.
You know, I happen to be a part owner of my radio show.
Yeah, and I'm a part owner, too, so...
And why do you get the call of shots?
Because I'm out there selling it.
Oh, here we go again with the salesman. Oh, man, you just really have a hard job, don't you?
All right, pal, you go sell your show, then.
Yeah, that shut him up, Mr. Hall, pretty good.
And I noticed that shut you up.
What are you talking? You shut up.
Play this song, because I want Phil to hear it. Now, the slug will say... Phil Hendry, and then Bud would hit the music. Here it is. Here.
What a wonderful day.
Phil Hendry. See?
When I
and Phil Hendry. What does the slug say, Bud?
It says Phil Hendry from the El Pacifico.
Phil Hendry for the. All right, let's roll it back so I can give, because I want to hear Phil do it. And roll it back, Bud, so that we can not... You know, I want to hear Phil do it, because I want to get a sense...
Are you kidding me with that or something?
What?
Play that again.
No, I'm not playing it. I want you to do it. I want you to... I'll do the slug, and then you come in and say, Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and whatever you say. So let's pretend like we're going in. Bud, you got it ready?
Yeah, I've got it right here, Mr. Hall.
Great. Well, I don't know, Phil, don't ask me questions. I want to get this done. I got a plane to catch.
All right, fine.
All right, so the slug, you know, the end of a local break, bang, here we go.
What a wonderful day.
From the El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. And,
Wait, kill it. Kill the music for a second. What are you trying to do?
What am I trying to do, what?
877-877. Do it like you're doing the regular thing.
All right, roll it again, man. I think it's the worst sounding music I've ever heard in my life.
I don't care. This makes the audience feel good.
What a wonderful day.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, welcome to the show. 877.
Boy, you suck. I want you working on this.
I'll work. Can you turn that off?
I think it's lovely.
Oh, really? Do you really, huh?
Yeah, it's nice. I want you working on this. You understand?
I'll work on this when I get good and ready to work on it, okay? But the fact is, we're in the middle of a radio show, and I'm trying to get the next segment set up. You understand?
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Head over to our website, philhendryshow.com. Check out our live streaming video every night. If you want to see how this thing is done, check it out. You know, it's like we have often said, this is really the only radio show in the world that's worth looking at. The hell was that?
I don't know. I heard a noise.
That was the computer, man.
It was Robert cracking his knuckle.
No, it wasn't, man. No, it wasn't. It was a pop-up on a computer. Go over to philhendryshow.com, Robert cracking his knuckles, and check it out. U.S. limits tarmac wait for passengers to 3 hours. The federal government will impose big fines starting this spring on airlines that keep passengers waiting on the tarmac too long without feeding them or letting them off the plane or otherwise doing things that, you know. Now, what did I just say? The federal government will impose big fines starting this spring on airlines that keep passengers waiting on the tarmac too long. Now, this story is going to go in one ear and out the other of probably a lot of people listening. And let me tell you why it shouldn't. Because the next time somebody says, why is the government getting involved in business? There you go, right there. Because airlines don't know enough about how to keep passengers happy. They keep them on an airplane where they can't go to the bathroom, can't eat, can't sleep, can't do anything. And this is business as usual, see? Now, for the people who say, government, 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 government. Well, this is why we need government. I got into a thing with a guy today. Some dumbass wrote something. I'm telling you, this is a beautiful thing. This guy wrote, I bet you he thought he was a genius. And he wrote the following. He said, you know, there's two kinds of government. There's the central authoritarian type, and there is the kind that is driven by the individual. And I wrote him back. I said, whoa. There are not two. He said, there are two kinds of government, and both of them exist in the world today. I said, wait, centralized authoritarian government is not a viable alternative to the kind of government you're talking about, which is basically representative democratic government, because centralized authoritarian government has not worked and has really not been a viable form of government for over 100 years. Whether or not the Chinese communists ever get on board, that's of no interest to me at all, because the Chinese are fighting a losing battle with their own people. They're fighting a losing battle with their own people.
What are you talking about? You talking to commies?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fighting a losing battle. They think they got it together. They think they got it. I bet you every night, though, man, when those guys in the Politburo in China, at the age of 116 or however old they are, try to have their evening bowel movement and it comes out like cement, you want to know why? Because they're worried about the fact that they know they're dinosaurs. They're on their way out.
Comes out like cement. That's pretty funny, man.
Yeah, okay, thanks. All those cats are that old over there, though. Centralized authoritarian government died as a legitimate expression of government, as a legitimate way of controlling and ruling and making prosperous a society. It died, for all intents and purposes, sometime in the mid to late 19th century, with the real death knell coming with World War I. Yeah, I know the Germans decided to go with the Nazis. That's a different kind of centralized authoritarian government. That wasn't a king. That was a Führer. Same difference, man. They went down the toilet, too. Tell you what makes America great. We don't have a centralized federalist way of doing things, and we don't necessarily have a confederated view, that is, a view of the individual being paramount at all costs. We swing between both forms. We swing in a very wide arc, stopping at points along the way, depending upon what our country needs. There are times when the American people want a strong federal government. They want a strong federal voice. There are times when we'd rather that they just keep their big fat mouths shut and lay off. Generally, the times that we want a very strong federal voice and strong federal action is when we find ourselves in distress and our state governments can't get their act together for love or money, and they got their thumb parked up their ass morning, noon, and night, and they wouldn't be able to help the people, man, if you gave them gold bullion every day for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They wouldn't know what to do. This has been a history that has been repeated over and over and over again throughout our history. And some of these people that call themselves Tea Party, that's great. You know, I love you, and I hope you're successful, but God, do yourself a favor and get to know the history of this country. Don't walk around with a three-pointed hat and tell me what Thomas Paine said. What happened after Thomas Paine, between him and now? Do you know, you got any idea on that? You know how many times states have failed their people? Failed them. All right. So now we got the U.S. limiting tarmac weights. And why did the U.S. government have to step in? Because the airlines, they can't figure out something as simple as, gee, these people have been on the plane for 6 hours. Do you think? Well, I don't know. And people wonder why. They say the following to me. They say, government should get off the back of business. That's why business isn't doing well. No, business isn't doing well because the people that are running our businesses have in recent years decided that it's better to take the profit out of the company every quarter than reinvesting it and building a company. That's what's wrong. And we don't have a generation of people that think along the lines of, you know, the old school guys who built companies, man. There's nothing wrong with that. If it was keeping people employed and keeping stock prices, you know, solid and stable, maybe they weren't going through the roof every freaking quarter, but they were at least stable and the companies were growing. Companies like, you know, the names, GE, IBM, blah, 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 right? Isn't that preferable to having a company going through the roof over a period of 3 years and then the CEO decides to go ahead and wreck it and take his money out or go on and do something else, or the dumbass realizes that he hasn't got a second act for this plan and he winds up getting his ass fired and the government's got to come in and do something about it? This is not a very difficult problem, and yet guess what? We got to have a law. You going to blame the government for that? I blame the airlines. You guys at the airlines, you're a piece of work, man. Here is one more piece of federal legislation having to do with the air corridors and the air service of this country that we didn't really have to have, but because you cats couldn't find it with both hands and a flashlight, now the government's got to come in and tell you dumbasses how long to keep people on a plane.
Peoples.
All right, I said peoples. I meant people. One people. If there's more than one people, peoples.
Okay, yeah.
No, it's called never mind. So the federal government will impose big fines starting this spring on airlines that keep passengers waiting on a tarmac too long without feeding them or letting them off the plane. Does that make sense to you? Does that sound like common sense to you? Does it sound like a common sense way of doing business? Jeez, I know you people have been on this plane for a long time. Yeah, we have. And you must be uncomfortable. We really are. We're really hot and we're tired. I got a baby that's crapping in a diaper and the whole place stinks like a septic tank. And yeah, you know what? We're going to feed you and we're going to let you off the plane or somehow do something to assist you. And we're going to have a coordinated effort between airlines. And that way we won't have to have a federal law. But guess what? They didn't do that, did they? Why didn't they do that? Should the government go in there and remind them to do business in a way that is going to be comfortable and is going to be something that is going to develop customer loyalty and is going to be good for their people? Is that what we need to do? Or should the company know what's good business and what isn't? I like to think the company should know that, but apparently they don't. So now you got a law. And that's how that works. So the next time I hear someone say to me, you know, the federal government, get out of here. I got into a discussion the other night with someone on the phone, and I got into the philosophy of business. And do you know, and this person's a conservative. They're conservative. They're a Tea Party person. They're a less government, more money for businesses person, right? When I started getting into the discussion of business, when I started talking about how to make a business run, within a second, they wanted to change the topic to the government. I said, wait a minute, man. I'm not talking about, hold on, you know, I'm just talking about business. What do you think is a good way to do business? What are we talking about doing business? But you know, the government, whoa, man, I'm not talking about the government. I'm just talking. I am telling you right now, if that conversation is any indication of the kind of conversation you're going to have with today's conservative, where you can't just get into a good fundamental discussion about how to build a company and how to do business, which is something that conservatives claim they are interested in. And if they are, man, I'm with you, brother. But if I can't start a conversation with you about how to develop a business, how to get a marketing plan, a promotional plan, a strategy on building that business, on building product and customer loyalty and getting a sales force together, and you can't go 4 seconds without mentioning the government, I don't think you know your ass from a hole in the ground about business. And, of course, we know this is true, at least in some instances, because we saw what happened to GM, and no, it wasn't the government. And we've seen what's happened to our own industry here, radio. And no, it ain't the government. The government's been rubber stamping licenses for broadcast companies over the last 15 years. Like brother, they're giving away, you know, they'll get the joke on Ellen, man. They're giving away a microwave with every radio license. Radio industry's got the government in their back pocket. So no, it ain't the government. Lousy business. Lousy business people. Lousy directors of industry, captains of industry. These cats just stink. Like last night when I was telling you about this Ebbers. Here's a jackass that had the world by the you-know-what, man.
What?
By the you...
Forget it, man.
By what? He had the world in the palm of his hand. He was making money like you wouldn't believe it. He had an employee base that was happy as hell. They had a brand new beautiful campus in Mississippi. They were a big company. They just swallowed up MCI. Stock price is $80, $90 a share. And because he wouldn't know how to run a business any better than he probably knows how to, you know, bait a mousetrap, this jackball ran through so much money he had to get a loan from the company. And when that money was gone, he had to cook the books. There you go. Great going, man. And all within about 4 years from being the toast of Wall Street, having happy customers, happy employees, stock prices that are beautiful, everybody with stock options, a wonderful place to work, people happy as hell. This guy is such a lightweight that when the stock price began to dip with the inevitable dot-com bust, and this is when the real men step up to the plate, this is when the real people who are men and women and know how to run a business, this is when they come in and take over. But this guy Ebbers, he wasn't a real guy. He was an empty suit. So he winds up going to prison. Anyway, airlines that let a plane sit on the tarmac for more than 2 hours without giving passengers food or water, or more than 3 hours without offering them the option of getting off, will face fines of $27,000 a passenger. Nice going, airlines. Now you got the feds up your ass with fines because you're too stupid to know when to let people off a plane. The rule announced on Monday, which takes effect in 120 days, has been in the works since 2007, but was sped up. It's been in the works since you guys knew this was in the works since 2007, and now you got another rule that you guys have to memorize. There's another rule in the federal rule book. Even though this has been in the works since 2007, the airline industry is so thick, they couldn't preempt this and do something about this problem. It was sped up by the August 7th incident when a cramped regional jet flown by ExpressJet, flying as Continental Express, sat on the tarmac at Rochester, Minnesota overnight with 47 passengers, and the airline industry itself wouldn't know what to do about that any more than they would be able to make a decent bean fart between about 100 of them. United Press International asks passerby what they think of the new limits on the airline industry to prevent passengers from waiting on the tarmac for their delayed flight to take off.
I do think it's a good idea because I think it's too long for passengers to wait on the tarmac.
You know, it's a question of can they get passengers off of the tarmac in time. You know, it's kind of a logistics thing. I think they've got to take it on a case-by-case basis.
Safety first. As somebody who travels a lot, and I know there are a lot of bad weather conditions out there that people get impatient about, but I also know that there have been some bad situations out on the tarmac where people have had to wait for several hours, and that's ridiculous. And so I think that it makes some sense to enact these kind of regulations.
It should be dependent on the situation. If it's weather or something like that, it should be a little understanding, but as far as just for no apparent reason, yeah, it should be.
Well, I'm sure there's some flexibility. I'm sure if an airline, you know, the airline says to the government or says to anybody from FAA or NTSB, hey, you know, we had this, oh, okay, well, we'll defray the fine, or, you know, we won't, or defer the fine, I mean, we won't But the fact is, now they got a new law. They got a new rule. They have a new federal piece of oversight because they stink as much as their overflowing toilets when it comes to taking care of their customers.
Hey.
Thank you, bud. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Ted Bell coming up with the manger story. Understand, I said Edison and Gates, right?
Yeah.
All right. Thomas Edison, Bill Gates. Okay, those are two examples of the entrepreneur inventor. Name another one from modern times.
I told you, the guy that invented Amazon.
Yeah.
Amazon is a it's an online shopping service. I'm talking a hard, actual piece of goods, you know, hard goods and service. Name it.
What do you mean hard?
Yeah.
Oh, forget it. 877-876-PHIL. You don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
You're Amazon.com.
I wouldn't call Amazon.com like a computer or a light bulb. It's a way that you can use the internet. It's just some guy came up with a way of selling books. All right, here is Mark on the Phil Henry Show. Mark, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, brother.
Awesome. First of all, honored to speak with you and love your voice talent. And is it true you played on an episode of King of the Hill?
I did a few King of the Hills, yeah. I did a bunch of episodes, actually, from 1999 till the show went off the air, whenever that was, 07, 08. Yeah.
Yeah, I caught one episode. Anyway, my point is, as a conservative, I'm actually kind of glad the government steps in every once in a while. For example, I don't know a lot about a business, but as a college student, I know a lot about video games. And in the 1990s, video games became more and more violent. For example, Mortal Kombat was in the highest popularity back then, and bloody, gory, violent games. And the government noticed how that can influence children at such a young age, and so they made a statement. Joe Lieberman said, if you don't police yourself, we'll do it for you. And at that time, they came up with the ESRB, the Entertainment Rating Service Board, to rate video games for parents to with the back of the kids. And so
when you call yourself a conservative, when you say you're a conservative, Mark,
right,
you're a qualified kind of, because I always thought that conservatives were people that believed in their heart of hearts business can very well regulate itself.
Well, as a first of all, I'm not a big fan of labels, and I use the term conservative loosely because I believe in a lot of things. I'm also a musician,
yeah,
and I have a lot of free thinking ideas as well.
Well, as a musician, do you believe in government interference? Yeah. As a musician, do you believe that the government should limit the amount of pollution? I'm kidding. So what do you... So in other words, you think that the government is... And that's fine. I agree with you. But what bothers me is that a lot of conservatives will tell you government interference. And I'm giving them an example here of a business that saw this coming in 2007. 2007, the airline industry knew that this was on the way. How do you blame the government for the airline industry not getting their act together enough so that they wouldn't have to face these fines?
There's going to be a lot of stupid businesses out there.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they just need a kick in the butt. I mean, that's what they need. And I think mostly because there are stupid people out there that will buy things from stupid businesses, and those stupid businesses will still flourish even though they're stupid.
Well, I don't know. When it comes to airlines, I don't know how many people anticipated that the airline is going to have them sitting on a tarmac, you know. But I think I think you hit on a good idea. I think what they should do is throw into prison anybody who opens a business that isn't profitable within a year.
That's awesome.
That'd be beautiful, wouldn't it?
Sounds like a plan.
All right, man, I thank you. Thanks for your call, Mark. See you later.
Thank you.
There's Mark. Large amounts of prescription drugs found in Brittany Murphy's bedroom, which is not to say that large amounts of prescription drugs were found in Brittany Murphy. However, there was a doctor here on one of the TV shows who says, well, I know very well that they probably will. On CBS Early Morning, forensic pathologist Dr. Cyril Wecht explains what he thinks led to the actress's death. What he thinks This is based on the fact that the autopsy came back with no cause of death noted as a heart attack or anything like that. So he's saying, I can bet you dollars to donuts.
When you have a 32-year-old person dying suddenly, and especially a celebrity in Los Angeles, you can place your bet down that it's going to prove to be a case of acute combined drug toxicity. And
celebrity
I bet
Los
you
Angeles.
This young lady tragically died in the same way that Michael Jackson did, and Anna Nicole Smith and her son Daniel Smith and Heath Ledger, a combination of drugs which had been prescribed for her, prescribed for her husband, for her mother, in some fictitious names, probably by doctors who are very, very quick to make available anything that celebrities want, sometimes using knowingly fictitious names. So even though these drugs are, quote, legal, unquote, they are many times illegally obtained. And it's a tragedy.
Get a piece of fat and slide off.
Yeah, thanks a lot, genius. Well, we'll find out. If you don't mind, I'll wait for the coroner. Coming up, Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills on a manger scene controversy in Beverly Hills, The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Get a piece of fat and slide off.
Go to TalkRadioNetwork.com for more information.